Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here with me in the studio today, and my friend for many years, Rodney Royer. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Larry. I appreciate
being
here.
So you've got all kind of leadership, you know, in these last, I will say how old you are. That's up to you if you want to divulge those kind of things. But you have had lots of different kinds of leadership. You know, Lie Lab, we're going to talk about today, how you founded that. You turned that over and sold to somebody else. You've been involved in leadership in the church in many ways for many, many years. And right now, you're the director of operations of Dove International, which is amazing. So let's just go back to the basics. Let's talk about growing up as a kid.
Sure.
And obviously, your walk with Christ has affected your leadership in so many amazing ways. Just talk a little bit about that. How did you come to Christ?
Sure. So, you know, I originally had been going to a church when I was little.
Yeah.
But as I became a teenager, just had no desire to spend time with the Lord, or I really understood that relationship aspect
right.
of things. And I met my wife, future wife, Moselle, at college when I was 20. And she ended up taking me to her youth group and young adult group that she was a part of. And through that, you know, really, I came to see the love of Jesus Christ in a way that I never knew it before.
Wow.
And I got together with people that actually related and loved one another. And that just drew me to Christ.
Wow.
And it took me 3 months. But, you know, February of 1998, way back then, I did decide to give my life to the Lord.
Well, and obviously that changed a lot of things about your life back then, present, future, on and on. Now, back when you were younger, did you have any leadership roles that you remember? Because we want to talk about leadership
yeah.
in this podcast.
You know what? So before I knew Jesus, I was really shy, very not popular. You know, back in the high school, junior high years, popularity was important for leadership a
sure.
lot back then. So I really didn't have a whole lot about that. But one of the things that was definitely recognized by a lot of educators that I was a part of was that I was consistent and I was there and I was kind of a behind-the-scenes person. But when I got to know Jesus, all of a sudden, some things shifted in me, confidence and things like that. And I had an amazing youth leader, Hubie Harmon. Some
yeah.
people on that listen to this would probably know him.
Sure.
He was very releasing and allowed me to learn a lot in who I was, be able to teach some of the word and really help with some small groups. That was really my first understanding of what leadership looked like.
Wow, that's cool. So what are some leadership lessons you learned as you were young back in those days?
Yeah. You know, I was fortunate and blessed to be around so many different leaders who were already mature in their faith and understood leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Some early things really were self-awareness. I remember early on, first year or so, starting to take like a spiritual gifts test,
mm-hmm.
doing a DISC profile. We did that even with our marriage. I also did this role inventory, a preference inventory, where you kind of understand where you fit in different roles in leadership. And all of those different things just helped me get a better mm-hmm. understanding of who I was, how God made me, my identity of myself, and his direction that he had for me. And that really helped me build a foundation on where I am today.
So good, so good. Tell me about starting your own business. That's so intriguing to me. And your years in business and the leadership role you had in your company. Just walk us through that.
Yeah. So back in 2001, and again, just quick highlights, I lost my job that I was doing at the time. Our daughter, Jasmine, was 1 month old.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no intentions of starting a business, but God had blessed me in my college academics that I ended up choosing a business degree, which had kind of accounting and marketing and things like that in it. And between that and some other things that happened and took place at that, I took the leap of starting a business in 2001.
Wow.
August 2001, my very first customer was still a customer when I sold the business.
Wow.
It's really cool just to experience that. But, you know, over the years, you were sole proprietor when you started, then you have your first employee, and then you are starting to build team and you have some acquisitions like we did. And, you know, your role in the business really changes. Mm-hmm. Because now all of a sudden you have people that are looking to you. How do you lead them? How do you build that team? And I ended up really probably about 15 years into it, really changing and shifting of working on the business rather than in it. Okay. And really trying to get an understanding of what that looks like.
Explain, what's the difference?
Yeah, so one big difference there is, you know, when you start a business and you're a sole proprietor, you're doing everything. Okay. You're doing the work. You're going out. And in our field was technical. Okay. So we go and fix computers. I would go fix computers. Now, all of a sudden, this shift happened where I had employees. I had to figure out, how do I create a vision for the business?
Good.
And I had to take time and focus on, where's the business going, not what are the necessarily specific needs of my customers. Not that we didn't focus on that, of course, but it was much more focused on, how do I direct people? How do I help people? How do I cast a vision of where the business is going? What do I want to see the business do in the next 5 to 10 years? So really spending some time on, what does the organization look like and how do I grow it?
As you look back, can you remember how long you were the only person involved in the business and you hired your first person?
So it took me 2 years before I hired my first person. And that's where I met your son-in-law, David, through a connection. So it's been a while, but yeah, 20 years I had employees or so. And yeah,
it was step by step by step. Have you had mentors in your life to help you walk through stuff?
I did. You know, back in 2015, which was really a big turning point for me, in business, you know, you run a business, you have a sort of idea of like, hey, how you're doing within an industry. But I ended up joining a peer group, which opened up a whole new realm of understanding of, you know, what do other business owners feel like you? You know, typically you're in a scenario where you don't talk about the real issues as a leader.
Right.
Because either other people don't understand it, or maybe they're competitors, so you don't want to discuss it. So in this setting, a very safe environment where you're very vulnerable of where you're at personally, where you're at financially, where your business was at. And there were 9 other people, other owners that were in that group that you just got close to, and you got to realize that you're not the only one dealing with the exact same issue.
You are talking local people or people through the nation?
Yeah, fortunately, this peer group was nationwide.
Wow.
So nobody was local, so that gave the freedom to be able to share whatever you want, because there's no competition there. But you also had the ability to kind of talk about topics that, you know, really personal. You know, there are people in that peer group that were dealing with cancer, or a spouse that was sick, or you know, mental issues that people were dealing with. All those sorts of things were things that we could like really discuss and grow as an individual, but also grow as a leader and where we're taking our business.
So someplace in that whole process, you got this idea of transition.
Yeah.
An idea of moving on from the business, selling the business, all that. Talk about that process and that brought you to the place where you actually did sell the business.
Yeah. So again, 2015 was big for me, learning some things. One of the great benefits with that peer group is they talked a lot about industry and where the industry was going. And in our industry, there's a lot of mergers and acquisitions.
Right.
And it really gave me a good foundation of what to think through for an exit strategy. You know, at that point in time, I wasn't thinking about exit. Back in 2015, I would have been in my mid-30s. I wasn't thinking about, hey, how am I going to exit out of it? But they did talk about it, which was so important. And in 2017, Mozell and I did something called a life plan. And the Patterson Center, which is an organization that does this, people get certified in it and so forth, but take people through it. It's a 3-day intensive, spouse and everything, where you're talking about different areas of your life, personal, family, spiritual and faith, community and vocation, and how each one of those areas are affected.
Wow.
That allows you to talk long-term. Where do you want to be in 5 to 10 years? Where do you want to be when you're 80? What legacy do you want to leave for your company? So it really made us think really deeply into, like, where do we want to go? Push forward to about 2022, when I was really starting to think, you know what, I think I'm done with the business. I think I'm ready to kind of exit out. And out of that, I spoke to my kids. Hey, do you have any interest in running the business? None of the kids were really interested in doing that. So that gave me a clear path. Okay, I don't need to hold on to the business for my kids or for anything like that. I can look other directions. So over the next 2 years, I ended up talking to about four different companies to kind of get an idea. There were certain things that I definitely wanted out of the business outside of financial. I wanted to make sure employees were taken care of, wanted to make sure customers were taken care of, wanted to make sure that the person buying it had long-term vision. I mentioned earlier a lot of mergers and acquisitions in our industry. I didn't want somebody to kind of consolidate us into their company and then just go and sell it right away and just all that transition and everything for customers and employees. And I was able to do that. I was able to find somebody. It did take 2 years. But in those 2 years, God also worked in me to be able to mentally be prepared to to leave the business.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of stories out there that talk about people are so wrapped up in their business or that's their identity that when they leave, they either have trouble leaving because they can't let go, or when they leave, they just have no idea what they're going to do and they're kind of lost. They're in this kind of weird limbo stage. And I wanted to avoid that. Like I knew I was leaving at an early age. I mean, I'd be in my mid-40s at that time, and I didn't want another 20 or 30 years to go by and like not know what I wanted to do.
Right.
So really what I ended up doing there is when I made that transition at the beginning of 2024, I had already mentally prepared through the whole process. I had I was ready to, you know, sign. I mean, there would have to be some major things to not go right, during my that process of due diligence with letter of intent. But, you know, I was just ready, ready to let go, ready to move on to the next thing, whatever God had for me. And I didn't really have a clear picture on what that was. A lot of people ask me, hey, what are you going to do after you sell the business? I'm like, I just don't know yet. So I made that transaction in April of 2024, and I made a commitment that I wasn't going to add anything new to my plate.
Okay.
Because I wanted to find out, what did God want me to do? I was in a place now where financially I had much more freedom than I ever would have prior to this. I have a clean slate. The other fun thing that happened in 2024, you know, my youngest son, Jonathan, graduated from high school. My oldest daughter, Jasmine, she got married. It was our 25th wedding anniversary that year. We got to go celebrate in Europe for 20 days. Like, it gave a lot of, like, we were definitely transitioning.
Right.
And we were really looking for, okay, God, what do you have for us? We can pretty much do anything. There's not a whole lot of things that would limit us. So really took a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time and just spending time in the Word, listening to some teachings. And I, like I said, I wasn't going to add anything new to my plate till the end of the year. That was kind of my goal. And through that whole process, there were some discussions with some leaders at Dove International. And through that process of talking through what their needs were and skill sets that I had a desire to help out Dove International. And that goes back pretty far, that Mozell and I, again, like you mentioned earlier, we've been in leadership in a lot of different things with Dove as a whole. And, you know, we felt now that I'm 47 now and transitioned, and I feel like 47 is so young. I have so much more time to do other things. And this opportunity with working with Dove International, I now can focus on something completely different than what I was before, which for me, my personality is really good because I can I can leave the old behind and the new a new season and really grab a hold of this new season. So I'm really excited for where things are to go as the director of operations at Dove International. And the gifts and talents that I have, the fortunate thing and the blessed thing that that both Dove International and myself have is I can do this in a way that is a blessing to Dove International financially and also skill set. I'm, again, blessed and fortunate that I don't have to work in a way that I need to meet needs and need to, to financially support my family and things like that. So I have the flexibility to be able to do this in a way that is blessing to all involved.
And I think you mentioned sometime in the past, if I remember correctly, that you for a long time said, I'd love to be involved in ministry of some type with Dove International. Is that right?
It is, yeah. You know, one of the things that I talked to with leadership with coming onto this position is I have a real deep desire to go and visit other countries and other leaders that we've built relationship with over the last 20 plus years. And some of them don't live in the United States.
Right.
And it'd be really awesome with the freedom and the flexibility that I have to be able to go and connect with those people that I rarely see or maybe see once a year at our international conference. So in talking to, you know, Dove International about this position, I'm like, hey, do I have the flexibility to go and do that? And I do. And that's just another awesome thing that we get to go and minister and bless different ways. I was fortunate just recently, I was at a local church where there was a business conference, we'll say, and I was able to share this story of legacy and story about where I brought the business, where I'm going to, and what we can do with it, and looking forward to that type of a scenario across the world, different places I might go.
Love your heart. Love your heart. We're so glad that you said yes to taking this role in Dove International, being the director of operations. It's amazing. Anything more you want to share about your leadership journey?
You know, one thing I think I do want to share just one aspect. You know, learning about yourself, talked about self-awareness a little bit before. You know, I love the ability when I was in peer groups. And right now, one of the nice things, I'm no longer in a peer group. I am now a facilitator in a peer group.
Oh, beautiful.
So I am now also helping once a quarter with the same peer group program, helping other business leaders grow their business.
Yeah.
So I'm facilitating the meetings and making sure that those meetings go really well for them and that they can grow their business. But I'm able to give back to the next generation, so to speak, of leaders that are building their businesses in IT. And it's so great that we can have conversations that really affect people and talk to people. It's great to have mentors. It's great to have people that can pour into your lives. And these peer groups and other such things, you can build over time, and they're long-lasting relationships. Lizelle and I have some deep relationships with people from this group, and we're building relationships with the ones that I'm facilitating now. And it allows us to continue to see leaders grow and continue to see leaders become what God's called them to be.
Beautiful.
And it's a great opportunity evangelistic way as well, because some of the people there are believers and some are not.
Exactly.
And it allows you to reveal the kingdom of God, the truths of the kingdom, to people in a very intimate setting. So I just love the opportunity that this gives and for us to be able to continue to do that.
Good. A couple of questions all together here. A question I have for you is, when you look back, what do you wish you would have known when you started, and have you made any mistakes? If you say no, then we need to talk some more. We all do, right?
Yeah. You know, mistakes. You know, I would say one of my biggest challenges over the years, and this is something that God just, I'll say the last couple of years, really dealt with, was having a perfectionist mindset. And, you know, nothing was good enough. Nothing met the mark. And when it comes to leadership, that's really hard to, how do you talk to people when your level of excellence is much higher than it really should be?
Right.
And how do you lead people because people aren't meeting your expectation? Because I'm not even meeting my own expectation. And to be able to walk through that and to be able to see now getting through that and being able to speak into people's lives and identifying that and helping other people see that to help them grow as well.
So good.
It is really good. And understanding how to really articulate those sorts of things to people and have those deep conversations. You know, in the business industry, we talk about crucial conversations.
Right.
It's so important to have those crucial conversations, not only to other leaders, but also to your staff, to those that you work with.
Rodney, one or two more questions. Sure. What would you say to a younger leader who would say to you, they'd say, Rodney, I need some advice. You know, how do I become a healthy leader? What would you tell them?
Read.
Good.
I'm not a big reader in all honesty, but it is so important that you do read. There's so many things that you don't have to be just books, a lot of articles online. There's a lot of great stuff, a lot of blogs, a lot of videos that you can watch, podcasts like yours, Larry. but, you know, one of the things that I think is so important is if you want to be an eagle, you surround yourself with eagles.
That's so good.
So I mentioned earlier that I had a lot of great leaders in my life early on in my walk with Jesus. I am where I am today because of those amazing leaders that I rub shoulders with. And it's so important as a young leader to find a mentor, find somebody that really can speak life into you. Read as much as you can, whether it's on leadership or whether it's your industry that you're in, that you're trying to grow and learn in. I said self-awareness earlier too. Really trying to like, how do you tick? Well, how are you wired? Everybody is a little different.
That's right.
And everybody kind of has their own perspective on things, viewpoints, the way they look through lenses, so to speak. And it's good. But understanding how you do it helps you be able to understand how other people do it, too.
Very good. Anything else, Rodney, that you'd like to impart, you know, to, again, those people listening to these podcasts from 170 nations? Anything else you'd like to share about leadership that we haven't shared?
Yeah. My last thing that I probably would touch on is so many leaders deal with the same things. Especially in business, we talk about this a lot, where what keeps you up at night?
Yeah.
There's a lot of paranoia, in all honesty, in leadership. And there's a lot of kind of hesitation to want to open up and share about those things. And I mentioned earlier about being in a peer group and realizing, you know what, I'm dealing with the same thing everybody else is. And I think the key thing there is to really recognize, like, find somebody that you can be vulnerable with and really talk about those things that keep you up at night. What are those fears that you have in life? What, you know, are you dealing with anxiety or depression or just really being able to confide into other people? And it'll allow you to grow significantly. I've seen it in my own life. And there are people that are around you that love you dearly, and they want to see you be the best version of yourself. And Jesus obviously wants you to do that too. So as a leader, just really seek out somebody that you can have an open conversation with about where you're at and be truthful about where you're at.
So good. Rodney, you've been a great blessing to so many, and I'm so happy, so blessed that you're in this present role with Director of Operations with Dove International. Obviously, I have about a year ago moved on from leadership of Dove International, the international director now is Merle Shank, and you will continue to be a great blessing to so many people around the world. So thank you. Thank you for being here today. For all those who are listening to the podcast, we got show notes. You may check out the show notes. You want to know more about Rodney, you can check that out on the show notes today. And Rodney, again, you are a great blessing. Thank you for being with me.
Thank you, Larry.
And thank you to all who joined us today. And we'll see you real soon on the next episode of the Larry Crider Leadership Podcast. God bless you. Have an amazing day.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.